let's start again on the bottom here of Haftes Amud Beis at the Gemara. Mishnah taught the basic law of Stam Yenam, that their wine, the wine of the non-Jews, is prohibited, and not just prohibited to be eaten, but prohibited to get any benefit from it at all. Says the Gemara, Yayin Minalan, how do we know that if wine is actually poured as an offering to an idol, it becomes prohibited? Amrav Baravu, Amar Kra, Rav Baravu, I answer, there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, Asher chelev zvachem o yochelu, yishtu yein nesicham, that the fat of their offerings they will eat, they will drink the wine of their libations. So the same verse talks about offerings, vachemo, and it talks about wine, yein nesicham. So what's to teach you? It's to make a hekesh, ma zevach aser bahana, just like an offering of an animal is prohibited, you can't get any benefit from that animal. Af yayin nami aser bahana, so to the wine poured to an idol, you can't get any benefit from. Zevach gufeminon, how do you know that an offering of an animal to an idol becomes prohibited? That's it, because the verse says, and they were, cleaving to the idol Baal Peor. And they ate the offerings of the dead. So it's comparing offerings to Baal Peor to the dead. So just like you can't get benefit from a dead body, so to an offering to Avodah Zarah, you can't get any benefit from it.
What they offered an animal for Avodah Zarah for a, yeah. Is that what they did?
Oh. Yeah, they ate from it. Yeah. Umei skufeminon. How do we know that a dead body itself you can't get any benefit from? Answer the Gemara. Asya, it's derived again from the language of the psukim. Sham sham. Me'egla rufa. Ksivach, it says over here in regards to a dead body. Vatama sham Miriam. And Miriam died there. Ksivasam, it says in regards to the calf whose neck is chopped off as an atonement for the dead person who's found in the on the roads. For fusham es egla banachal. And they shall chop off there the egla, the calf, in the riverbed. So malahal and aser ba'ana, just like there you can't get any benefit. Afkan nami aser ba'ana, so too a dead body, like Miriam's dead body, you can't get any benefit from the body. Vasaminal, how do we know that the egla rufa you can't get benefit from, which is the source of it all? Ami de bera ba'anai, they answered in the yeshiva of Rabbi Anai, kapara ksivbe, it says there, kapar lamcha Yisrael, that the sages would pray, atone for your nation Israel. So kapara, it sounds like kikachim, it's like the sacred items like sacrifices. So sacrifices, you can't get any benefit. So to Egla Rufa, you can't get benefit. So to the dead, you can't get benefit. So to the offerings to Avodah Zarah, you can't get benefit. So to the wine that's offered to Avodah Zarah, you can't get benefit from it.
Is this the source where you can't donate
organs
and stuff?
That's an interesting connection. I don't think so, because when we talk about donating organs, it's a question of possibly saving a life, right? So to save a life, we would overrule the laws of not getting benefit. I think there are other issues, right? The person might still be alive, and you can't take one life to save another.
And then dead body, they donate anymore. Die.
Once they die, I don't think the organs are useful anymore.
Only brain dead, they could use the organs.
Right, so halacha probably doesn't recognize brain death as death.
I thought they did, no? They don't?
Most don't. Most do not.
But even like donating yourself to science is to open up.
Well, that's certainly not, right. Right. So that there's a famous tshuva of the Noda Yehuda where he said that the definition of danger to life is immediate danger to life. Since science is in the long term, they'll make discoveries, they'll then save. That's not an immediate danger to life, and that, therefore, is not allowed. Okay, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, vinegar of the non-Jews that originally in the hands of the non-Jews was wine is prohibited. So Gemara says, Pshita, of course, would I think that just because you had something prohibited, it was wine, now it became spoiled. The spoiling makes it permitted. So Gemara answers, Amar Ravashi, Ravashi explained to us, what the Tan is trying to teach us is the following. If it was vinegar that had been his all along, and it had been wine of his, now it became vinegar, it's prohibited. But chomet shalanu, but if it was our wine, and we made it in our hands, it became vinegar. And then biyadovit kochavim, then you give it over to the hands of the non-Jew, even when you get it back from the non-Jew, ein tzara chosam b'so chosam. You don't have to give it to the non-Jew with a seal within a seal, a double seal. Even one seal is already enough to make sure that the non-Jew is not going to do anything with it. Why? Because if I'm worried that if I give my vinegar to the non-Jew to watch, he's going to try to open it up and pour some of it to his idol. Lo menasri. If it's vinegar, they're not going to pour it to their idol. It offends the idol. And if I give it to him, if I give him vinegar to watch, I should be worried. He's going to pour out my vinegar, replace it with his vinegar, and thereby give me something treif. Well, kivan de'ika chosam, since there's one seal, even though it's not a big hassle, it's a little hassle. So lo tarachu mezayif, he's not going to go through the hassle of breaking the seal, taking out the vinegar, replacing it with his vinegar, putting on a new fake seal. He's not going to do that. Amar Rabbi La, Rabbi La said, Shanina, we learned in a braisa, yayin mevushal shalov de kochavim, cooked wine of the non-Jews, shahaya mitchilaso yayin, that originally had been regular wine, and then the non-Jew, I guess, cooked it, aser, it's still prohibited, you can't get benefit from it. So Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious, mishub de ivshil pakale yisura, is the cooking going to take away the prohibition? So Ravashi explained, ha salashmin, and the point of this brisa of Rabbi Lai is to teach us the same similar halacha that we just saw before. If it was regular wine in the hands of the non-Jew, it's prohibited. But yayin mevushal shalanu. But if we had wine, and we cooked the wine, and then we gave it to the non-Jew to watch, biyadov de kochavim, so ain't tzara chosam so chosam, when the non-Jew gives it back to us, it's okay when we had given it to him, there was one seal, it's kosher, it doesn't need to have a seal within a seal. Why? For these reasonings. If I'm worried that maybe he's going to pour my wine as an offering to his idol. Once it's cooked, it doesn't taste so good, so they're not going to pour it to their idol. And if you're worried by my giving my wine to him, he's going to change my wine for his wine. No, kivan de'ika chosam echad, if there's one seal already, lo tarachu mezayif, he's not going to go through the hassle of breaking a seal, pouring out my wine, replacing it with his wine, making a new seal. So you don't need to have a double seal, only a single seal is enough. Next mission, next price,
in the old days, Rabbi, it's not happening today, you know, things like this.
The pouring of wine to idols, you mean?
You mean, I mean, if you have a non-Jew housekeeper in your house, okay?
Right.
So how could they do to, you know, Abuzar? There's no Abuzar. They're a housekeeper. They're allowed to touch your vinegar.
So it's not so simple, because the Rishonim explained that, you know, many of the prohibitions here are not just because of Avodah Zarah. What Gemara here is talking about Avodah Zarah issues.
Right.
But there's also prohibitions to prevent intermarriage. So therefore, we're not allowed to eat their cooking, we're not allowed to eat their bread, we're not allowed to eat their oil.
Even though they are cooking in your house with your yeah. You know...
Yeah, we're worried.
We're
worried about intermarriage. Remember, Rabbi? Do you know Rabbi Prager from the West Side?
Right. Okay.
So he told me a story that there was someone who came to one of his classes, and he, you know, exploded. He said, "What? Because some, you know, illegal immigrant housekeeper, you know, cooks a piece of fish, I'm going to go and intermarry? You know, it's like two different worlds, me and this illegal immigrant housekeeper." So he said to him, "Your brother, who is apparently living with some non-Jewish woman, if his non-Jewish girlfriend, whatever she would cook, he would not eat. They would stay as boyfriend and girlfriend?" He said, "You're right. You know, they would never have stayed as boyfriend and girlfriend if he would never have eaten any of the things she cooked." So that's the halacha. The halacha is that if a non-Jew If the non-Jew cooks, you know, stuff, we're not allowed to eat it because it leads to being friendly, which could lead to intermarriage. So this, many Rishonim say the same is true with wine. Wine, even without the issues of being poured to Avodah Zarah that we have here, there's also an issue that it's going to lead to being too friendly with them and marrying Chas
V'Shalom. Even though with your own ingredients?
With your own ingredients.
Right, but it also doesn't matter. Wait till man from
this is a big difference between Sephardim and Ashkenazim. We have a big leniency. The Ramah says that if a Jew, you know, does something to the fire, he turns on the fire, or in those days throws in a little twig underneath the pot, that's already considered Jewish cooking. But the Beis Yosef says no. The Beis Yosef says the Jew has to do the real cooking. The Sephardim, the Jew has to do the full cooking, not just to turn on the fire. For Ashkenazim, it's enough to turn on the cooking.
No, believe it or not, my household always tends to, the stove on.
You have Eishes Chayil, Baruch Hashem. Tana Rabbana, we lived in a Braisa. Yayin Mevushal, if we have cooked wine. Va'aluntis. Or, aluntis was some type of a drink that would have some wine in it. Shalov de kochavim, if it belongs to the non-Jews, asurin, you can't get any benefit from it. Because even though it was cooked, or they mixed in other things, it still starts off as prohibited wine of the non-Jews. But aluntis kibriyasa, but if it was aluntis from the beginning, in other words, a Jew made this aluntis, and the non-Jew bought it from him after the wine was already in it, then muteres, you're allowed to have benefit from it, because there's no worry that aluntis is going to be poured to Avodah Zarah. Because, again, they pour to their Avodah Zarah things that look good. They're not going to pour to their Avodah Zarah, aluntis. Ezuhi aluntis. What is aluntis? So we learned that in regards to Masechet Shabbos, Gabe Shabbos. In regards to Shabbos, we learned Osan Anumlin. You're allowed to prepare Anumlin, Ve'en Osan Aluntis, but you can't make Aluntis. Ezuhi Anumlin. What's Anumlin? Ve'ezuhi Aluntis. What's Aluntis? Anumlin is basically a recipe for a type of a version of how to improve the wine. Yain advash upilplin. It's wine, honey with pepper. Aluntis is yayin yashan. It's old wine. Umayim tzlulin and clear waters, and afar simon, the afar simon oil. It's avdu lebe masuta, which is made to help people who are coming out of the bathhouse to cool down their bodies that have overheated in the bathhouse. So that's not healthy food. That's really a medicinal food. And medicines, as we said, you can't do on Shabbos because that might lead to the grinding of herbs. So now we're talking about, non-kosher liquids. We've learned elsewhere that, a non-kosher liquid is a liquid that was left uncovered. Because if a liquid is left uncovered, the snakes may have come and taken from the liquid, and then there's poison of the snake inside the liquid.
Mixing up honey and pepper and things with yain is not kosher? Is that what you're saying?
No, that is kosher. It was the... you're right, yeah. That's not kosher because that aluntis would be wine with the oil, but wine with the honey is okay because that's just a drink. It's a
wine
drink.
And oil is not.
Yeah, because that's already a medicine. Rabban Rav Yosef Dami Tarvayu, Rabban Rav Yosef, on Shabbos, but during the week you could use it. Rabban Rav Yosef both said, Yayin Mazug, wine that was diluted with water. So it's only a third wine and two-thirds water. Ein bo mishum gilui, if that was left uncovered, it doesn't become unkosher because snakes don't like diluted wine. Yayin Mavushal, if the wine is cooked, also ein bo mishum nisuch. Then, as we've seen all along, there's no issue of maybe it being poured to the idols, because the non-Jews are not going to pour it to the idols, as we've just said.
But how do they know? They look at the wine.
It tastes very different. It looks different. Ibailahu, they had a question in the yeshiva. Yayin mevushal, cooked wine. Yesh b'mishum gilui, do you have the prohibition of things being uncovered? Oh, ain b'mishum gilui, or the snakes avoid that too. Tashma, come in here, prove, hey, Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, yayin mevushal, shayin b'mishum gilui. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi testified that the cooked wine, the snakes don't go for, and therefore if it was left uncovered, it's still kosher. A story, Rabbi Yanai Bar Yishmael Chalash, Rabbi Yanai Bar Yishmael got very sick and he was in bed. Allah Gabe Rabbi Yishmael Ben Zerud V'Rabbanan. So Rabbi Yishmael Ben Zerud and several of the rabbis came to visit him, L'Shiul Bey, to see how he's doing. Yasvi coming by Lu, they were sitting around, they had this question, Yayin Mevushal, if you have wine that was cooked, does it become not kosher because of danger if it's left uncovered or not? Amalu Rabbi Shmuel ben Zeirut. Rabbi Shmuel ben Zeirut said to them, "Hachi Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Shimon Gavur Rabba." Umad Rabbi Chia. This is what Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said in the name of a great man, Rabbi Chia. Yaim Avush Leim Rabbi Shimon Gilui. Cooked wine, there is no problem of it being left uncovered because the snakes aren't going to eat it. Amalu Le, the sages said, "Nismoch, can we rely on this?" Machvel Rabbi Yana Rabbi Shmuel alive al tzavari. So Rabbi Yana Rabbi Shmuel said, "You know, he motioned to him with his hands. It should be on me and on my shoulders." In other words, it'll be my responsibility if anybody gets sick, because yeah, you can rely on this. It's not, they're not going to get sick. There's not going to be any poison in uncovered cooked wine. All right, a story. Shmuel had a friend who wasn't Jewish, whose name was Avlit. Havuyasvi, they were sitting together. Aisel kamei chamra mevashla. So Jews brought before them cooked wine. Mashke liyade. So Avlit pulled his hands away, so as not to touch it, to not make it treif. Amalei Shmuel, so Shmuel said, but it's cooked wine. The sages have taught that cooked wine, if a non-Jew touches, it doesn't become problematic.
Why did we need it sealed in the earlier Gemara? We talked about one seal that said that the reason is...
That was when he was going to be in his domain. He was going to watch it. That seal was to prevent him from exchanging it for his own stuff. Yeah, questions, Avi.
The wine wasn't
Yeah.
Avlit would touch it, why would it become a problem?
Then it would become a problem. That's this decree, that whatever they touch of wine becomes prohibited to us.
Even if it's in front of you?
That's right. Even though he didn't use it for the idols, but because of to keep us from wine that was used for the idols, even what he touches, we can't
even
use.
Mavushal?
No, Mavushal is okay. That's the point.
Mavushal is okay.
And looking a guy to look, it's not an issue.
Yeah, that's not an issue. I'm saying Reb Chia, the maid of Reb Chia, Iglayala Hahu Chama Mevashla. She had left some cooked wine uncovered. Asked the Kamed Reb Chia, so she went in front of Reb Chia. Can she drink it? Amliyareyamu. So he said, it's okay. They've said it. Yaimu Vushlein Vusham Gili. Cooked wine, if it's left uncovered, is okay. So, talking now again about diluted wine. Shamoed Rav Adabar Ahava, the attendant of Rav Adabar Ahava, Igli Lechamer Meziga. He had some wine that had been diluted, that he had left uncovered. So he asked now, would the snake drink from this? So we saw before that there was an opinion that snakes don't drink diluted wine. So But he went and he asked Rav Adabar Ahava. Amar Le, Rav Adabar Ahava said, Arei Amru, they've said, Yayin Mazu Gein Mishum Gilui. Diluted wine, the snakes don't drink from. Rav Papa said, Lo Amar, we didn't say that. Ela demazik tuva. There's a lot of water in it and it's very diluted. Avomazik velo mazik, but if it's diluted but not really diluted, in other words, only has a little bit of water, shati, that the snake would drink from, and therefore if it was left open, it is dangerous. Mazik velo mazik mishasi. Does a snake drink from wine that is slightly diluted? But Rabbi Bar Avuna have a kazal ba'ar, but we know that Rabbi Bar Avuna was once traveling on a boat, and he was carrying some wine. And he saw a snake penetrating through the waters to try to get to them. So he said to his shamash, Sami ain't it a dain, blind the eyes of this one. In other words, you know, get something to get him away from the wine. So Shakil Kale Maya Shadibe. So he took some water and he poured it into the wine. And when he did that, Vasar Lachorit, then the snake turned back. So you see that a snake is not going to drink wine that has any water in it. So my answer is like this. Really, a snake would drink wine that has a little bit of water in it. But Achaye Masar Nafshe. But if the wine is raw, then the snake's going to endanger himself and even in front of people try to go drink from it. I'm a ziga, but if the wine is diluted, lo maser nafshe. He's not going to go do it in front of people because he's not going to risk himself because he doesn't want diluted wine so much. So that's what he was doing here. He put in a little wine, so that would, and there were people around, so that would keep the snake out. So Gemara says, is that really true? V'amazigal omas or nafshe, if the wine is a little bit diluted, the snake's not going to risk his life to try to get to it. There was a story, with Rabbi Yanai. Have a Be'ach Buri, he was in this place called Be'ach Buri. Amrila, some say, it wasn't Rabbi Yanai, it was Bar Hedya. Have a Be'ach Buri, who is in Be'ach Buri. And Avu Yasviv, Avu Kashasu, Chamer Mezigah. They were all sitting around and drinking diluted wine. Pashlu, Chamer Bechuva. And there was a little bit of wine left in the barrel. Vitzaruna Biparunka. And they covered it with a napkin of material, a kerchief. Chazilahu Chivya. Then they saw there was a snake coming to try to drink from the wine. So, the shakal maya v'rama b'chuba, and the snake was bringing water in his mouth and putting it into the barrel through this cover. Adamala b'chuba, until the barrel was filled with so much water, the salak hamri luvei perunka, and then the little bit of wine got through this cover of material, v'shasi, and then the snake was drinking. So you see that, number one, the snake went in front of people, he was risking his life in front of people, because he went to drink, and he drank wine that had water in it, because he put the water in himself. So you see that snakes will go for wine that is diluted with a little bit of water. Ami, they answered in the yeshiva, the mazig ihu shasi. If he dilutes it, he'll drink it. The mazig yachrina lo shasi. But if other people dilute the wine with water, he's not going to drink it. Amar Ravashi said, the itema, some say, Rav Misharsha said, peruka l'sakanta. Can you give all sorts of answers to resolve a question when we have danger? This is a matter of poison, snake poison. Doesn't matter if there's water or not. Don't drink liquids that were left uncovered. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hilcha, so that's the halacha. Yayin mazug yesh po mishum gilui. That diluted wine, you do have a problem if it was left uncovered. It's dangerous. And even if it's diluted, there's a problem if the non-Jew touches it. Because even though the water dilutes the taste, the original taste is still there, the non-Jews might still pour it in front of their idols. Yain mevushal, cooked wine, ein bo mishum gilui, then you don't have a problem of it being left uncovered, ein bo mishum yain nesach, and you don't have a problem of a non-Jew touching it. Shamed Reb Chilkiya Bar Tuvi, the attendant of Reb Chilkiya Bar Tuvi, Iglaya, who kissed the demaya. He had water in this little container called a kista that got uncovered. But he was sleeping there. So now the question is, if a person is sleeping, is that enough to keep away a snake? So it went in front of Reb Chilkiya Bar Tuvi to ask if he could drink this water. Reb Chilkiya said, they said, that a person sleeping scares a snake, and the snake's not going to come drink from the water with a person sleeping next to that water. So since you were sleeping next to the water, there's no prohibition. When do we say that the fear of the snake, the fear of a sleeping person, keeps away a snake? Be a mama by day, because a person doesn't sleep long by day, so it's just like a little nap. But at night, when it's a deep sleep, then the snake is not worried. He's going to go in and drink from the water. Gemara says, it's not true. There's no difference between day and night. If a person is sleeping, the snake is not afraid. And we don't say the snakes are afraid of the sleeping person. So if a person slept, it wasn't the Shemirah. If it was uncovered, it is dangerous. Now, Rav lo shasim yibei arma. Rav would not drink water that came from a non-Jew. Why? Amar, he said, lo zahiri begilu. The non-Jews take risks with their lives. They leave the water uncovered. Snakes may have gotten in and put in their poison. Yibei armalta, but water from a Jewish widow, shasi, Rav would drink. Even though the widow's not so knowledgeable about all these laws. Because he said, Sircha de Gavra Nikita, she's probably acting according to the same way she was acting when her husband was alive, and she's still being careful to keep the water covered. Shmuel, Oshasi Mayim, Ibe Armalta, he wouldn't drink water from a widow. Amar Lesley, Masa de Gavra Velomichsaya Mayim, she's no longer afraid of her husband, and so she's not going to be covering the water. Avum Ibe Armashasi, but from the water of a non-Jew, he would drink. Because it's true, the non-Jews take risks with their lives and they're not careful with the water, but Aman Kirusa Miya Kapti, but they are worried about cleanliness. Since they're worried about cleanliness, they don't want dirt to fall into the water, they keep the barrels covered. So since they keep their barrels covered, you can assume the barrel was covered and still kosher water. Ikadami. Others say, Rav lo shasi mayim be arma. Rav wouldn't drink water from the non-Jews. Avon be armalta shasi. But he would drink water from a widow. And Shmuel lo shasi mayim lo mi be arma v'lo mi be armalta. Shmuel wouldn't drink from a widow because she doesn't have a husband to watch her, nor from a non-Jew because they're not careful with danger. Amri B'shur ben Levi, B'shur ben Levi taught that there are really three wines that we don't have to worry about them being left uncovered. Shalosh yod noshein ve'enbo mishum gilui, three wines that we're not worried about the snakes getting into them. Ve'eluhein, one is chad, sharp wine, one is mar, bitter wine, and one is masak, one is sweet wine. Chad, sharp wine, is tila harifa, is this very, very sharp wine that tastes virtually like vinegar. The mitzare zika, that because it's so sharp, the barrels themselves might break because of its sharpness. Mar, bitter wine, is yarnaka, is a certain bad and bitter wine. And masok, sweet wine, is what comes from chulia, it comes from very ripened grapes. Rav Chama masna li'iluye, Rav Chama used to teach that these wines are actually better. Chad, sharp, means the chamaru pilpulin. It's wine that they added some pepper to it. Mar, bitter, is wine that they put in afsintin. They put in mint. And masok, sweet wine, is mebarg, is wine that is very improved. But either way, the snakes don't drink from these wines. Amar Shimon ben Lakish, Krina ain't bo mishum gilui. Krina doesn't have the problem of it being left uncovered. My Krina, what's Krina? Amar Bavo, Chamra Chalya da'asim Asya, sweet wine that comes from Asya, from Asia. Amar Rava, Rava said uvim komo, but in Asya, yesh bo mishum gilui, there would be a problem of it being left uncovered. My timer, why? Because Chamar Medina, it's the national drink, and if it's the national drink, then we're worried that the snakes got used to it and they would get into it as well.
Rabbi, these altered wines, do they also have to be mabushel?
No.
If
the non-Jews, yes. Yeah. Amar Rava, Rava said, I chamer da akrim. Wine whose taste has been damaged and it started to spoil, but it's not yet fully vinegar. At plus a yomi, for the first 3 days, yesh po mishum gili. You have to make sure to cover it to make sure the snakes don't get into it. And also, mishum yayin nesach, you have the problems of the non-Jews touching it, that it now becomes maybe something that they would offer to their idol. Now turning to Lamanum and Beis, when we can't veilach, but already 3 days after it started to spoil, ein b'mishum gili, at that point the snakes are not going to go to it, so even if it's left uncovered, it's kosher. Ein b'mishum yayin nesach, and the non-Jews aren't going to use that for their idols, so if the non-Jew touches it, it would still be kosher. Unahardayam, but then hardayi say, I feel of us with klasa yom, even after 3 days, we're still worried if it was left uncovered. My time of wise, sometimes the snake, even after it became somewhat vinegary, is going to drink from it. Tanarabanan lived in a brisa, yayin tose, it's brand new wine. It's right in the wine press, so it's still bubbling. If it's left uncovered, it's still kosher, because snakes don't like that. Kamatsi saso, how long do you have for it to be still considered bubbling wine? Shloshiyam, the first 3 days after it was crushed. Hashachlayim, watercress, is a type of vegetable that would be mixed with wine and water. And b'mishum gilui, if they're mixed with the wine and the water, then already there's no problem of gilui because the snakes aren't going to drink from that. B'nei gola nagu ben iser, but those from the exile, those from Bavel, they did treat it as prohibited because sometimes snakes do go for it. V'lo amar, and they didn't say that it's prohibited. El delesbu chala, if you didn't have any vinegar mixed in. Avalisbu chala, but if there's vinegar mixed in, then certainly migri buhu, the vinegar is fighting the snake, and you know he's not going to like the taste of the vinegar, so he's not going to go for that type of wine.
Rabbi, can you have a Gentile be part of the production of mamushel wine because it goes through the mamushel process?
Only after it was cooked.
After it was cooked,
a Gentile can't even pick the grapes, right?
Right. Kuta chabavli the. The kutach habavli is a food we'll get to in regards to Pesach. It's a food that was made with like whey and crumbs, and it had a very strong taste. So in mishum gilui, if that's left uncovered, there's no problem of the snakes. So the snakes are not going to eat from it. B'nei gola nagu ben iser, but the b'nei gola did treat it as prohibited. Because sometimes snakes get into it. I'm Rav Menashe. Rav Menashe said, "Yisbe Nakuri, if you have on top of the kutach, peckings, as if the signs of, you know, bites on the teeth of the snake, chayshinan, you have to be worried and don't eat from it because there might be poison there. Amar Pchia Barashi, Amar Shmuel, may tif tif, water that's coming out drip by drip. So there's a constant drip, but it sounds like a machine gun. So Ein Mishum Gilui, the snake is afraid of all that, you know, rat-a-tat-tat, and therefore, if it's left uncovered, the snake's not going to go there to drink from it. Amar Avashi, Avashi said, David tif lahadi tif tif. It's, you know, there's a lot of drip, 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 drips. But if there are breaks between the drips, then we are worried that the snake would go there during the breaks, and it, therefore it is prohibited because of Gilui. Amar Pchia Barashi, Pchia Barashi said in the name of Shmuel, Pita Eina, if you pick a fig and you have at its stem like a little opening, Eimu Mishum Gilui, we don't have to worry that if that fig is left uncovered, a snake got there and the snake, you know, drank from the fig some sap and put in its poison, because we're not worried about that. So come on, who is this opinion like? Ki hai tana, it's like the following tana, the tana with a brisa. Rebelezer, Omer Rebelezer says, Ochel adam anav mutainim balayla. A person's allowed to eat figs and grapes at night, even though you can't check at night to see if maybe there was a snake that got to it. Ve'eno choshesh, you don't have to worry that maybe a snake got in there. Mishum shenemar, because the verse says, Shomer psayim Hashem. Hashem watches the people who are fools. And therefore, if you're not going to be able to eat figs and grapes, so that'll be a hard thing. So you're a fool. You're not worried for the danger. Hashem will protect you. And the danger won't be there. Even though in theory, the danger could be there. But if you're a pesi, then Hashem's going to protect you. Amar of Safra Mishum, Rabbi Yeshua Dwaroma. Rabbi Safra is the name of Rabbi Yeshua from the south. Shlosha Mine Erasein. There are three types of snake poison. Shel Bachur, of a young snake. Shokea, that sinks all the way to the bottom of the barrel of water. Shel Benoni, of a middle-aged snake, Mifapea, that, you know, sinks a little bit, it's sort of like in the middle of the barrel. And the Shel Zakin, of an old snake, it's a weak poison, so tzaf, that's floating at the top of the barrel. The member, the Kama, the Kashish, Kashish Chele, does that mean that the older the snake gets, the weaker is his poison? For a time, we learned in a brisa, shlosha, kolzman, shemaskinim, gvura, mitosefes, behen. There are three creatures that the older they get, the stronger they get. And those three creatures are dag, nachash, v'chazir, a fish, a snake, and a pig. So the older he gets, the stronger is his poison. So the Gemara says, yes, koach, osufiu, the kamosif. Yes, the stronger, the older he gets, the stronger is the poison. But ziare kalish, but in terms of the, he gets stronger as he gets older, but his poison gets weaker. The poison is now floating at the top of the water. Shalbachar shokei alamai hilchasa. What does it matter to us that the young snake's poison sinks to the bottom? So Gemara explains, the tanya we learned in a brisa. Chavis, let's say there's a barrel of wine or water, shenizgala, that was left uncovered. Afal pisha shasu menu tishavalo mesu. Even though nine people have already drunk from this barrel and not died, the 10th person shouldn't drink from it, because the 10th person is drinking from the dregs, from the bottom. Because maybe the poison wasn't at the first nine levels, but at the bottom level, the poison sunk to there. And in fact, my side, there was a story, nine people drank from a barrel, they didn't die. The 10th person drank, and he did die. Rabbi Yirmi explained, because Zeu Shokea, it's because the poison sunk. So that's why we have to be worried about young snakes, and even if there's just water at the bottom of a barrel, if it was left uncovered, maybe there's poison there, because maybe it was a young snake that drank from this barrel. The chain, similarly, avatiach shenis gala. Let's say there was a watermelon left uncovered. Even though nine people ate from the uncovered watermelon and they didn't die from the snake, the tenth shouldn't drink, eat from it, because maybe the snake poison sunk to the bottom of the watermelon. I say there was a story. Nine people ate from the watermelon that was uncovered, they didn't die. The 10th person in, he did die. Amar Rebbe, and Rebbe Yirmiyah explained, Zeu Shokea, that's again, it's halacha, that a young snake, his poison will sink to the bottom. Now, Tanur Rabbanu Hunter Nebraisa, Maim Shin is Galu, water that was left uncovered, and we're worried that the snake got his poison into it. Not only can't you drink it, Areza lo yishpachem, Berushas Harabim, you can't pour them in a public domain, because maybe someone's going to walk by with his bare feet, and he's going to step on it, and the poison will get into his feet. They didn't have tiled floors, they had dirt floors, so you can't, you know, sprinkle this water around, to keep the dust down. And you can't even mix mud with it, because your hands will touch it. You can't feed it to your animal, nor to your friend's animal, and you can't wash your hands or face or your feet with it. Others say, when can't you use it to wash with it in those parts of the body where there is a crack, let's say like your face, usser, because the poison will sink in and might get into the body. But ain't bo sirta, but parts of the body that don't have cracks, let's say you have a hand that doesn't have any cracked skin, then mutu, you could wash with it. So Gemara says, 1 second. Achayim ma'inu tanakama. Isn't achayim the same thing as the tanakama? Both prohibit the face. No, ikabinar. The difference is gava yad, the back of the hand, it doesn't have cracks in it. Vegava regular, the back of the foot. Or verumne da'ape, or washing the cheeks that are underneath the eyes. Because there are no cracks. So if you say that the issue is cracks, then there wouldn't be issues in those places. Okay, we'll stop here. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbara. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha, Omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakos Yisrael, Lefichach Hirba Lehem Torah, Mitzvah, Shneimah, Dnei Chafetz Laman Tzidkoy, Yagdil Terav Yadir.